today's conversation.
In the know, on the go.
This is On the Scene on 938 Now.
On the Scene with Eugene checks out what's new, what's on and coming up. Coming up on the 21st and 22nd of March, over at this lovely, very vintage, nostalgic, and nostalgia, I suppose, filled place, the Projector here in Singapore, get ready for a wonderful one-woman show by Christine St. John, presenting Betty Davis on the Edge. And it starts in the morning of October 31st, 1962, and motion picture legend Betty Davis is waiting anxiously for the reviews of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. If the picture is a success, it will hail the desperately needed comeback for the star's fading career. If not, it will provide a sad and embarrassing epitaph. As she waits, she reflects on her career from the talkies to the present day, and her story is the entire story of Hollywood, of the American motion picture industry. This compelling story provides a unique and touching insight into both Hollywood in its heyday and arguably the finest actress of her generation.
In these early years, Warner Brothers is not the glamour studio. Oh, no, no, no. We are worker bees. I make 14 pictures in 2 years. It's like repertory theater. And all right, the pictures are not remarkable, but the point is this. I am learning how to act into that camera box and make it my friend. And that's not easy when the man you work for can't stand the way you look. Mr. Warner orders me into Jean Harlow slinky dresses, Jean Harlow platinum hair, Jean Harlow false eyelashes, and my transformation is complete. I look exactly like Harpo Marx. But one way or the other, the studio machine have turned me into a star.
And that's an excerpt of a recording of a performance by Christine St. John playing, of course, the iconic role of Betty Davis on stage. And Christine St. John joins us live now here on the scene, all the way from Illinois. Christine, thanks very much for speaking with us today.
Oh, Eugene, it's a very great pleasure. Hello, Singapore, from the frozen Illinois plains.
Thank you so much for taking time out to speak with us. First of all, share with us, of course, your fascination for Betty Davis. What draws you to her?
Well, Eugene, I think you said it when you said you referred to her as a goddess, and indeed she was, wasn't she, a goddess of the golden era of Hollywood, but for very different reasons. I think she was brave, she was fun and funny, she suffered no fools, and she was, in her way, a revolutionary. People referred to her, many years later, as the Marlon Brando of the 1930s, because she just didn't do it the Hollywood way. She wouldn't have anything to do with the glamour image and wanting to always look pretty. She just wanted to act in pictures. And that's what really made her stand out and made her different. And she carried that philosophy throughout her life.
And for this particular show that you wrote and you perform in, you chose to zero in on this this period of time, or at least this scene where Betty Davis is returning to a VIP suite at the Plaza Hotel. Share with us why and how this thing unfolds.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right, Eugene. Well, you see, this was a make-or-break moment in her career. It was, if Baby Jane, whatever happened to Baby Jane, it was not going to be a success, her career was over. And she was planning a return back east to find work. It was that simple. She was, she had been one of the highest paid actors, male or female, in Hollywood, and she had fallen on, I won't say desperate times, but her career was, her light was fading. And so what I found in my research is that there is only one little clip that says, conspicuous by her absence at the premiere of Baby Jane, Betty Davis was not there. And I wondered about this. Why wasn't she there? What happened to her? Where did she go? And a lot of research and quadruple checking my sources, I've pieced together what happened to her that night while she's waiting for the reviews. And what the audience will come and see at the Wag the Dog Theater Company's performance of this is Bette Davis reflecting on her entire career as she's waiting for these reviews. It is crucial that she get rave reviews, and I'm not going to give that away because that's part of the fun of the show. But I would like to say that while it is a one-woman show, I play about 17 different parts, a lot of them men, studio producers. Jack Warner, in particular, has a big role in this play. But she does reflect from the beginning of her time in Hollywood, which is, Eugene, the beginning of talking pictures. A slew of Broadway actors were invited out west to migrate west to Hollywood because they discovered the silent picture actors really couldn't talk on camera. They had Rudolph Valentino had a very high-pitched voice, and he just didn't translate to the new technology of talking pictures. And so I tell that story of her career. And what's been the most fascinating and perhaps the most rewarding component of this for me is that people of all ages seem to enjoy themselves. If you're young and you have never heard of Bette Davis, the young people that have come to see the show love learning about Hollywood in its the birth of the talking pictures. And of course, baby boomers love hearing about this time period, and elderly people as well, because they get to hear references from their past. So this is really a play for people from age 19 to 90. And I've been lucky enough to play it off-Broadway. I just did a show in Hastings, England, Saturday night. And here I am in Illinois and coming to Singapore soon. So I hope everyone who loves Bette Davis will come along and see Wag the Dog's production of this.
And of course, the resemblance, your resemblance to Bette Davis is just remarkable. So what would you say, how have you, what have you learned about transforming yourself into this icon, you know, over the years of playing this character?
That's a very, very good question. I've never been asked that. That's really a good question. I think, Eugene, it starts with the voice. That she had a very unusual speaking pattern. And then you follow her mannerisms. She had a very unique style that was her own. I didn't want to exaggerate her mannerisms because one thing that I had to remember is when I'm watching her old films, and I've watched them all many, many times, I'm watching her play a character. That's not Bette Davis. That's Bette Davis playing a character. So I also listened to a number of the talk shows that she did up until 1962. Not past that, because that didn't serve me. But so I would pick up, really, I think, to answer your question, the first thing was getting the rhythm of the voice and then the mannerisms that people associate with Bette Davis, but really that came through her interviews more so. Well, not more so, but it was certainly more important because that was her talking. But I did watch all of her films many times. So I would say it began with the voice. The physical, I don't know. A friend of mine in a place not far from Kuching once said, "You've got Bette Davis eyes." So, I don't know. I just got lucky with that side of it, I suppose.
And you mentioned the Dog Theatre coming into that you're collaborating with on the production here in Singapore. Would you be able to share with us, well, this is something that you take, I suppose, around the world. Will the show be different in a sense because of your collaboration with Wag the Dog, or will it be essentially the same as you perform at, like, for example, in Illinois where you are?
Well, I know in Illinois, in Hastings, England, off-Broadway, it's the same show. I suppose what's going to be very special for me is the fact that I'm playing in Singapore, and I have a line about Singapore in the play, because of course Bette Davis was very, very active with the Hollywood canteen for servicemen going out to the South Pacific. And so it's very special for me to perform in Singapore, probably my favorite city on the planet. And I, of course, did a reading for Wag the Dog Theater Company. I first approached them when we were in Singapore last May. I went to see a production of theirs, and I loved it. I loved their energy. I loved their acting, the set, everything. And I just walked up to the producer, Harry Marshall, and introduced myself and told him about my play. And one thing led to another. I met Warren, who was in Chicago at the same time I was many years ago. Our paths never crossed, but we had mutual friends. And I ended up doing a reading for them last November to see if it would be suitable for them, if they would take it on. And lucky for me, they have.
And thank you so much, Christine, for joining us on the line live all the way from Illinois. And we look forward to meeting you in person and on stage on the 21st of March, 22nd of March as well, over at this wonderful location, such a nostalgic location as well, the Projector here in Singapore, which is itself kind of like a refurbished and a very old school sort of type of cinema here in Singapore. Christine, thank you so much for your time.